You're listening to Inside My Victory with Kelly Stickle, a podcast on leadership, creativity, and building great churches. You can find Kelly online at kellystickle.com.
Hi, Victory Nation. Welcome to Inside My Victory, a podcast about the church, leadership, and creativity. I'm Pastor Gene.
And I'm Pastor Kelly, and you can follow along with this podcast and the notes we provide for you by going to my website, kellystickle.com.
And if you have questions you'd like us to answer or discussions you'd like us to have, please email us at leadership@myvictory.ca.
Yes, please take advantage of this. If you're a pastor or a leader, a church leader, whatever it might be, and you have a specific situation or question you'd have that is going to help us in your world or going to help you in your world, please email that question to us again at leadership@myvictory.ca. We would love to take it on.
Yes, we would. How are you, Pastor Kelly?
I'm doing great.
Good. Hey, this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, sure has. Talking about collaboration.
Team collaboration.
Lots of fun.
And this week, I want to dig a little bit more into, as a team members in a complex organization, that gets a little crazier, we're accountable for a healthy, collaborative environment. Mm-hmm. And this week, I want us to focus on three things. Number one, collaborative contribution. Number two, identification of obstacles that need addressing.
Yes.
And number three, putting the group goal at the forefront above personal satisfaction or recognition. Are you ready?
I am ready. Okay. Let's do this.
So recognizing and respecting the collaborative contributions of team members keeps a team healthy, and giving credit publicly or privately really strengthens the team.
Yep.
So how can a leader nurture collaborative contribution among a diversity of team players?
Yeah, I think we need to recognize and respect the contributions of all of our team, all of the collaborators in there. So I recognize, but I mean, I think we need to recognize each team member, and I recognize is not just, hey, I recognize you're in the room. I think it recognize each person's strength and show respect, and that often respect is respect is I can honor someone, but if I respect them, I'm going to tell them. And so I think we need to respect and tell them what we and pull on their strengths and give credit where credit is due. And if someone does a great job, I think that we have to honor them by telling them that they've done it. And what gets rewarded is going to get repeated.
Yes, it does.
I think that is, you know, if we can do this, we're going to nurture the contribution of the whole a lot more.
You know, in the last century, I've only lived through two centuries. In the last century, leaders were problem solvers, you know, and employees just brought the problems to the leader to solve.
Right.
And problems were kind of seen like obstacles for the leader to solve alone. What's changed?
Well, a lot has changed. And
yes,
in fact,
it has.
I was frustrated as a leader. And so I went to a mentor a number of years ago and kind of poured out my heart to them and said, man, I'm so busy. I'm so overworked.
You poor thing.
And it was funny because I had a very small church at the time, and I was pouring out my heart to a guy who had a very large church. And I'm sure he was thinking to himself, okay. But he recommended that I read a book called The 1 Minute Manager and the Monkey. And that book transformed me. And this is what Ken Blanchard says in that book, and I encourage every leader, you got to read this book. It's just a small little one, but Ken Blanchard says this. And at the beginning of the book, he said, made the statement, and I was like, okay, now I'm hooked. I'm curious. He says, if you're the leader or the boss or the supervisor, you should be the least busiest person on the team. And I thought, what? That is so opposite of everything that we have learned or everything that we have seen modeled before, because it's the owner of the company who is the one who works the hardest. It's the boss who is working the longest hours. It's the, you know, and this has kind of become society's norm. Well, I think that needs to shift. And the reason why, and this is what he said about the shift, is he says, when you're a leader, someone will come, or one of your team will come and knock on your door and say, hey, boss, I've got a problem. And we let them explain the problem. And then we say, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And they walk away. Then the next person comes and knocks on the door. Hey, boss, I got a problem. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Well, meanwhile, all of the team goes home. They put their feet up. They have a relaxing evening. And the boss is there working, solving all of the problems.
All those monkeys.
All the monkeys. So instead, he says, we got the monkey being the next action step. He says, mm-hmm. as a leader, he says, it's better as a leader to come in and saying, okay, hey, boss, I've got a problem. And the leader to say, hey, what would you suggest? How do you think we should solve it? And I'm not sure. Well, why don't you go back and talk with the team and come up with three solutions and come back to me. And then they walk out of the office. They have the monkey.
Yes.
And the boss can put his feet up and read a magazine.
And they grow.
And they grow.
And they grow.
And they eventually begin to learn how to solve problems on their own. And they're growing and maturing. And, and everybody wins when that happens.
So good. And when team members fail to meet expectations, collaboration is jeopardized. How can a leader create a healthy environment for apologies and forgiveness when team efforts fall short?
I think the leader has to model the way. I think the leader has to be the first one to admit their mistakes. And as leaders, we think, well, if I admit my mistakes, everyone's going to think less of me. No, everybody knows you made a mistake. And when you don't admit it, they think less
of you. Think you're clueless.
They think you're clueless. When you do admit your mistakes, I found that when somebody admits a mistake or a leader goes, yeah, I blew this one, I don't feel... less of them. I feel more. I'm drawn to them more. And I think as leaders, we need to model the way by being willing to say, hey, you know what? I missed it on this one. It's okay. And then lead the way with apologies and saying, hey, you know, I did this wrong.
It really opens up a way for more collaboration.
It does.
You know?
It does.
It's good.
And if you've seen this, if somebody admits, man, I made a mistake, somebody else is going to inevitably step in and going, yeah, I didn't really do my best either, or whatever might happen.
It really brings a lot of unity.
It does.
It's good.
So the leader has to model the way.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Toward the end of the all-staff day last month, you really gave us 20 collaborative skills. Let's just go through all of them.
I'm kidding.
I just want to go through two.
Let's do two. Okay.
All right. Those two are, number one, listening to the concerns of team members. Number two, analyzing problems without assigning blame.
So in sharing
those concerns and analyzing problems, where does holding team members accountable come into play?
I think accountability is vital. It's key. I think a lack of accountability is actually fosters a lack of collaboration.
Yes.
Accountability, actually, it's good. Accountability, again, if you define it really quickly, it's rewarding who's winning. If somebody's winning and they're not getting rewarded for it, they lose motivation very quickly.
Right.
Why am I putting all this extra effort in if I'm not going to get rewarded? If mediocrity is not challenged, then it just is demotivating. And if losing is not penalized, it's demotivating. So I think accountability is huge. It plays a huge, huge role in motivation. But I think the best way to have strong accountability is firstly to have really crystal clear expectations. We need to be clear in our expectations. And the clearer we are in expectations, the easier it is to hold our teams accountable. So again, as a leader, a lot of times I've realized that the expectations are in my own head, but I haven't really verbalized them. I need to get those expectations out and be clear on as clear as I possibly can on all the expectations I have in what I'm expecting to get done. And then accountability is a reward, what you want repeated. And here's a general rule is reward teams publicly and individuals privately. And the reason I say that is because if you reward individuals publicly, it often fosters an unhealthy competition.
It does.
And it breaks down collaboration because when you reward an individual publicly, for instance, and say, man, Gene did a great job, the person—
feel free to do that anytime.
Yeah, I will do that. And you say that publicly.
But it isolates people.
Then your wife, Joanne, is sitting there going, yeah, you don't know.
You don't know the half of it,
how much I had to do, and you don't know. And other people that were contributing to the team, they're going, well, I did this, and how come I didn't get recognized? And it creates this kind of this competition.
It does.
And which is unhealthy. So reward, the general rule is reward teams.
It's good.
Reward the entire team publicly. But take that individual. Somebody did an extra and above and beyond effort. Take them aside privately and saying, man, you reward them.
That
privately.
Is so healthy. So healthy.
In the same way, penalize people the same way. You know, challenge a team publicly. Challenge the individuals privately. Don't embarrass somebody in front of everybody else. So
that's a good thought not to do that. John Maxwell is known very much for saying the mark of a great leader is the proper placement of people.
Yeah.
And so that would indicate that the leader must be able to assess and the strengths and the weaknesses of every team member. Mm-hmm. So, Pastor Kelly, how did you learn to assess the weaknesses and the strengths and even correct the improper placement of people? Because you like to move people around.
I love moving people around. And I do it for multiple reasons. We shift roles quite regularly. And there's a couple of reasons. Is I want to find somebody to ultimately work in their strength zone. That they're happiest, we're happiest. The team is better, they're better if they're working in their strength zone. And so I love to shift people around and kind of experiment and try and work things to find that perfect strength zone fit. The other thing it does is that I'm trying to raise leaders, not just specialists. And a leader should be able to go into any environment, anywhere, and stir it up and make it grow. And sometimes a shakeup is great in a department. When you put a new leader in there, they're going to come with a new perspective, new strength, new ideas.
Refreshing.
And it's going to refresh the whole thing. So that's beneficial. But besides moving people around and watching where their strengths are and what they do well and what they don't do well, I also like to, we use a lot of personality tests like DISC, D-I-S-C, or the 16 personalities. We give our teams these quite regularly, individuals quite regularly go through that so that we can assess where they're at. We like the Strengths Finder test to identify where people's strengths are. And I think identifying that sometimes you do go through those tests and you'll get enlightened on something going, oh, that's why. Mm-hmm. They do this, and that's mm-hmm. why they think this way, and why they're really good at that. But ultimately, Bible says it this way too, right? You'll know them by their fruit. So where are the results? And where there's results, there's a strength.
And place them where they can produce the fruit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, you closed out all staff last month by focusing on the necessity to maintain a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. Leaders with a bias for action often are missing in this area.
Yeah.
So why is humor vital to a healthy team?
Well, Nehemiah said it this way, and Nehemiah is a great story of collaboration and how to collaborate as a leader and bring people in to get a problem solved, come up with a consensus solution. He's a great example of that. But he said that the joy of the Lord is our strength,
yeah.
Nehemiah 8:10, right? He said the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when I read that, I thought, okay, joy equals strength. So that means a lack of joy equals a lack of strength.
Right.
So I think it's vital in a team that a team has to have joy, has to have a sense of humor, has to be laughing, because the joy level is going to determine the team's strength level.
Yeah.
And as individuals, it's challenging as well, isn't it? I'm going, okay, am I laughing as much anymore? If I'm not laughing, I'm not as strong. So if the laughter's gone away, maybe I'm tired. Maybe I'm stressed. Maybe there's an indication of weakness there that I need to fix something.
There might be a reason that Paul said, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice.
Yes. He's challenging the Philippians, wasn't he? He's just like, oh, come on, guys, laugh a little. It's vital. And I think humor and joy is especially vital in the church. We should be the place of joy and of humor, because the church needs to be strong. We have to be strong.
And that joy is one good way to engage the community, the unchurched world.
It really is. And we need to engage the community. We need to be strong and to have strong teams, because the mission is just too important.
It's huge.
And the mission, of course, is that we are the hope of the world on a mission
to reach every available person
at every available time,
by every available means,
with the gospel of Jesus Christ,
by creating churches that unchurched people love to attend.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Inside My Victory with Kelly Stickle. Kelly would like to answer your specific questions about church, leadership, and creativity in an upcoming podcast. You can send your questions to leadership@myvictory.ca. We are excited to announce that Kelly's new book, Minecraft, is set to be released in the new year of 2019. To reserve your copy, continue to follow this podcast and visit Kelly's website for more information. If you've been enjoying this podcast, a simple thing you can do is rate it, review it, and share it. It's a great way for you to help us equip more and more people who will build great soul-winning churches. Thank you again for joining us on the Inside My Victory podcast.